So fair enough. We'll just move on. I thought it was funny. Anyway, Apollo, Zeus, heal. Okay, so the FPL spraying the bees, the birds, the horses, the people. You know, the woman who is at the center of all this to a degree is the beekeeper, Melissa Kalis, came and spoke yesterday. And, you know, very compelling, I thought, you know, what she had to say. But what do we know? What is the county doing?
So basically what we know is that FPL did spray some herbicide. They've done this in our county before, not aerial, but they've done it. I believe you probably heard Jerry Cooley reference Willard Knox, right? We have a lot of this going on. This time they did an aerial. We did know they were using a helicopter to do that. Our aviation manager had went out there and met with them, and they met all the requirements of the Peter Prince Airfield. However, they don't run any of this by us. They do not have to get permission to spray. That's all through FDACs and you know, permitting those.
Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's all right.
And that allows, you know, you have to have a pesticide and a herbicide license if you're spraying the right of ways. There's, you know, if you want to go do that, there's a test you have to do to get your certification to allow you to do that. And, you know, pretty much FBL doesn't run anything by us. There's an inside little joke around the county that, man, we wish Gulf Power was back because FPL is so challenging because their home base is out of South Florida and it's just not the same relationship we used to have. So it's a challenging to deal with a bigger corporation like FPL, but you know, they don't have to run their operations through us unless they're permitting something, you know, for whatever it is that we require a permit for, but we do not require one for the spraying. And so we weren't notified of it. We got notified by people starting to call us about things as the bees and chickens and et cetera.
Yeah.
Of course, we relayed that to our local government liaison with FPL. And then they, you know, started reaching out to the people to try to figure out. But they did tell us it's an industry standard herbicide that, does not have those effects. So, you know, pretty much the county is out of it. I know there's some talk about us regulating things. I don't know where that'll land. I don't know where if we really have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those, especially statewide organizations such as FPL, you know, they have the leverage to make sure we don't do things like regulate them.
And you know, listen, if I want to go spray, you know, legal pesticide on my lawn, I'm allowed to do that. If, you know, Ryan Jenkins needs to, you know, put some kind of preparation down on his soil to do his planting, if it's legal, he's allowed to do that. You know, I get that people don't like it. You know, I don't particularly like it. And it's, you know, scary, I guess, to see it in the air and to worry about the impact of the environment and that if people are seeing the effects. But like you say, you know, what kind of power do you have really, especially when if they were to do something else, it would probably be more expensive. I presume they're probably doing the cheapest effective alternative, you know, hand cutting it, you know, lawn mowing it essentially is, I'm assuming, more expensive and therefore, you know, ratepayers would have to pay for it. So the solutions seem to be Tallahassee oriented unless they're doing something specifically that you have the power to regulate, which you don't, except to say, hey, are you doing it right? And they are, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we had the conversation, and we made sure that, you know, the inspectors at the Department of Agriculture knew that,
yep,
knew what was going on, could hear from us that there's issues going on in our county they need to pay attention to.
Also want to talk a little bit about data centers. Speaking of things that you may not have a lot of power to regulate, data centers, I know a lot of people are concerned about these. I've raised the observation that, you know, if you're using the internet or Netflix or social media, you are the data center. You know, it's like somebody driving a car and complaining about there's all these gas stations all over the place. Duh. But okay, people don't want it near them. What kind of power does Santa Rosa County have to regulate this, which at the moment is only a potential? It's not something nobody's actually come to ask for a development order, right?
That's correct. And, you know, I believe Commissioner Rowell brought up one of the bills that recently passed and wanted to at least get a discussion, a future discussion going about what what's the county stance going to be on those.
Yeah, SB 484, by the way. It's a very interesting bill. I read it because of his comments. But, yeah, SB 484, if people want to look it up. Go ahead, Brad.
And I believe, you know, he referenced a couple other counties, such as Walton County, have done some stuff. So I think that'll be a future discussion for the county commission to have and see if they want to do something within our code that would limit at least the location of them and what we could do legally. So we'll be, communicating with our county attorney and the commissioners and kind of see what they want us to bring forward, reference to the data centers. But, you know, once that conversation started in Escambia County, our phone has been blowing up about them coming into Santa Rosa County.
Sure.
And that's why I went ahead and made my statement. You know, no one has come and started an application to do a data center in Santa Rosa County.
And again, it's a question of power. It's a question of land use, you know, your ability to control them, and land use, land development code, zoning, all of those things. Is there a category of zoning and land use that right now they would fit in?
Yeah, I would think that probably in the industrial area it would fit in. I think there will be limited areas where it could make sense because you do have to have a very secure power, you know, lots of volume coming in there. So,
right.
You know, it would have to be near a transmission line. And then obviously water is a concern for the cooling and what they're going to do for that water, how they're going to decrease demand for it, how they're going to reuse it, things like that. So I think a reuse scenario would probably have to be in place.
Right. Which I think it's interesting in this conversation that we're always looking for like the spray field to discharge the treated effluent. Well, or, you know, could feed a data center theoretically. I mean, I'm not saying that's what should be done, but there are customers who would like to have an awful lot of reuse water if it were available, and you guys are building your own plant. So, you know, same kind of things. NAS Whiting Field, a couple of ones that you're working on. The Child Development Center, we all think that's a great thing. I was a little surprised. Wasn't the price tag on this like $20 million? Did I read that right? But that's not you spending that money, is it?
No, that would be a grant. And, you know, I don't know it would ever go that high.
Okay.
You know, it's probably more in the $15 million, but we wanted the ability to ask for what Whiting was looking for, and we don't know what that cost is going to be. But what's interesting is the reason why we're having this discussion now is, and we've had it with others with our internal agreements, is just for the federal government to do it almost doubles the cost.
Right.
We could build the exact same center,
Yeah. The
exact same specs, and it'd be half the cost of local government doing it versus the federal government doing it.
And this is one of those cases where partnering with the military saves them money, gets us jobs, and does the end result probably more efficiently than the federal government could do within their parameters, which I like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I did have a question about the taxiway. It's about a $900,000 change order. That caught my eyebrow. But this is, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, or maybe you should, it's to extend the taxiway around where the Leonardo facility is on Whiting Field so that you could bring in more aviation customers into that same space. Is that the idea?
That is the idea.
You know,
we have several more acres out there that are developable, and we've already started the next phase of that with the stormwater pond. But obviously, to attract the customers, what makes that site really unique is the ability to access the limited access to the Navy's runway.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can extend that taxiway, which comes directly off the runway, that'll allow for aviation customers that would need access to that runway.
So this is, in my brain, you tell me if I've got this wrong, this is essentially another kind of industrial park. You have lots of economic development. Shannon Ogletree does amazing work. We're seeing an interest in developing there. And because of the unique partnership with the Navy and the access to their facility, this is a desirable commodity. It's a certain kind of industrial park that you guys are investing in, basically. Is that right?
A very unique industrial park.
Yeah, one in the country.
One of.
Yeah.
That's right. There's no other county has an agreement with a federal aviation partner to access the runway the size of Whiting Fields in the agreement we have. And you know, we can only thank our former commissioner, Don Salter, for that and his vision and his, you know, being in the military and able to develop that relationship that he was to get us across the finish line.
Yeah, I certainly hope that when people have the jobs out there that pay so well in the next few years and they're driving on Don Salter Way, they're thinking about the fact that commissioner's decades of work on this is what produced those jobs and that economic development. Abating dilapidated properties, I think 9 of them. This made the news a little bit, but is this a big thing? Is this a normal thing? What is this all about?
It's a normal thing.
Okay.
It's just, we go through them. This list was pretty big, but last year we added some environmental code enforcement officers, so it gave us the ability to be more proactive versus reactive, and I think you'll start seeing this. You know, all these really dilapidated properties that people are doing nothing with, this allows us to go in and basically clean up the property, and then we'll put a lien on that property. And, we've been successful, I'd say, in the last 6 months, too, where we were able to negotiate with them and get them to do things in lieu of us doing abatement. So I think the abatement process gives us the ability to try to force them to clean up the property, which is not meeting code. And then if not, it gives us the ability to just go in and do it.
Okay. All right. I follow you on that. And then the last one is the causeway speed reduction for the skimmers, for the birds. The birds have been observed, so the speed limit is down to 20 miles an hour, assuming the vote goes that way tomorrow, right?
That's correct. And this is an annual thing that we do. We have some funding that comes through FWC out there for the boat ramp and other things that come through state agencies. And that was part of the agreement that anytime the birds are nesting, we reduce the speed limit. And so they're back again this year, and we'll have the message boards out and watch out for the little birds.
Yeah, absolutely. We always want to take care of our wildlife. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. As always, Brad, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do to organize the county. Been doing it for several years now, and appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next time.
Okay, Andrew, thank you. Have a good day.
Absolutely. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with